Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
John Benjamin Toshack. Now, John Toshack, when asked about his favourite player, he always says John Charles, but then after that he said, "But I love Hugo Sanchez." Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football, episode number 47. We've been going nearly a year and feels like 10. I'm your host, Owen Blackhurst. On the day this podcast is released, March the 28th, back in 1993, Francesco Totti made his debut for Roma. As everyone who likes football knows, he stayed there for a long time, did some magical things, turned down the advances of Real Madrid, genuinely did it all looking beautiful and yeah, doing some wonderful things with the football, scoring fantastic goals and staying and being a symbol of a club and famously winning a Scudetto and being down to his pants on the pitch. But also on the day he made his debut, at number one in the British charts was Oh Carolina by Shaggy. Seb, can you give us a blast of that?
Oh Carolina, da-da, ba-ba-da.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Not bad. So we can safely say the best thing that happened on that day in 1993 was that Totti made his debut.
Yes.
Also, way back a long, 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 long time ago, on March the 28th, Ivan the Terrible had his last day of being terrible, died. Oh. Feet up, done. I would love to be called Owen the Terrible. Just once. I wonder if anyone's ever called me Owen the Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
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 James the Upset, Seb the Mad, and Tommy Shitter. So joining
worse.
Me today.
I've had worse.
joining me today on the day Ivan the Terrible died. What a fucking great name.
Ivan the Terrible.
Yeah. Where does he rank, Seb, in your military... You know, military big men.
Well, I'm more of your 21st century military, aren't I?
Yeah, but they must have, you know, they must have taken a few They must have taken a few tactics from him.
Sorry.
Seb's gone at the mere mention of either the terrible or military. Joining me today are Mundial features editor James Paul Christian Bird, Mundial co-founder Seb Dennis White, and producer Tommy Stewart. 47 episodes in. We're glad to be back. There's been a few lineup changes in the last few weeks. But yeah, look, we're all here.
It's good to be all back.
I enjoyed the episode last week. I enjoyed you hosting, Seb, listening to your dulcet tones in my garden.
I haven't listened to it yet.
So. No, I know. We know.
I enjoyed doing it.
Seb was great.
Feels like we're back.
It does feel like we're back. Back in the room.
Can I just sense check the fact that you don't think anyone's ever said Owen the Terrible before? I reckon someone said that in the last hour.
No, I just don't think they'd say it like that.
Not like that.
They'd say Owen the Terrible. Oh, Owen's a cunt, isn't he?
But I reckon there might be
Owen the cunt.
There might be enough people thinking that at the same time. Somewhere at some place.
No, but they'd
someone
have
saying
to be,
Owen the Terrible.
It would have to
you
be.
You know, it's like the universe being infinite. Somewhere at some place we're doing
it
this.
It would
podcast.
Have to be.
But Holly Valance is sat there. And not since her right.
No, she. See, yeah. Holly Valance would say, "Owen the cunt." Oh, what a fucking flaming galah. Yeah. Aberfluff on the 19th of March said this, like an hour in the pub with best friends. Yeah. If we can convince you, mate. The best thing I can say about this podcast is that it makes me feel happy. For the hour a week when I listen to it, it's like I'm at the pub with my best friends talking about the sport I love. It's irreverent, it's funny, it's emotional at times, and most of all, it's fun. It reminds me of why I fell in love with the sport, and it teaches me something new every week, even if something is utter nonsense. I've grown to love the lads who present it and their relationship with each other, and it's made me love the magazine that I've subscribed to for ages even more. Seriously, listen to it. It's awesome. So, Mathilde finally wrote that review then, James. Yeah.
Another £10 down the drain.
And that was the episode you weren't on.
You know, I think although we don't necessarily always, and this might get edited out, bother ourselves with news items, it should be noted that we are recording this on the day that Flaggate has swept the nation. And I think all you really need to know about... is the absurdity of it. And there was someone on Radio 5 Live this morning saying that it warped English. They were trying to warp English identity, which, I mean, if you're still banging on about the war 80 years on, it's pretty warped anyway.
Yes, sir.
From a military history perspective.
But there was a tweet on social, which you may have seen by now, but I think we were considering. We had a discussion in the office about whether we should write something polemical or angry or go after people or whatever, and sort of sometimes it's just a bit of a pain in the arse. Yeah. But we were forwarded a tweet from Freddie Quinn, which said, "If I was in charge of Nike, I'd issue an apology. Change the England kit back to normal with the correct colours of the flag." And you think, okay. And then he says, "But then I would change the Three Lions logo to two XL bullies shagging each other up the arse." And I think the absolute best way to deal with the absurdity of the situation is what he's done there. So, Freddie Quinn, I'll be following you now and I'll be trying to see you live because that is very funny. And
brilliant.
Instead of like the point scoring that's been done on the back of something that is essentially a harmless logo on the back of a shirt, I would hope that forever, for as long as we do this, we are the antidote to Flaggate.
100%.
And genuinely remind you why you love football.
Seb thinks there should be a Yeovil flag on the back of the thing. Calling up 5-5 this morning.
I just don't. Again, the absurdity and the insanity of it all. I just, lost for words, but I do agree exactly what Owen said. We're the antidote to all that. We should, answer absurdity with absurdity.
And who doesn't want to see two XL bullies shagging each other?
Oh, God, yeah.
Someone's definitely done that on ChatGPT.
We are. James has gone. James has gone. We are reminding you I love football. 4.9 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify.
Good God.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland. It's me. I'm back. Nice. There's plenty of different ways you can go when you're researching this. And sometimes you, as I'm sure you're aware, we all have, or you do and I do and the lads do and whoever else does. Sometimes you're busy, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you end up down rabbit holes and sometimes you just see something and think, I've got to talk about that on the podcast. And I'd seen this before and I'd forgot about it and it got retweeted again into Mundial's timeline. I'm no longer a user of X, so I lurk every now and again through Mundials and occasionally send provocative tweets through it. But in the 1989-1990 season, the great Mexican Hugo Sanchez scored 38 goals in the league for Real Madrid. Every one of them were one-touch finishes.
It's insane.
And then if someone told you that and you didn't know who Hugo Sanchez was, like you two are a bit younger, you'll know the name, but you might, you'd think, oh, bit of a goal-langer, was he? Well, he wasn't a goal-langer, was he? Because there's a selection of some of the best goals you will ever see.
Yeah.
The acrobatic variety of Sanchez's overhead kicks and volleys and mad angle finishes and chips
free kicks
and everything. And now, the backstory here is that he first went to Spain to play for Atletico Madrid. And when he arrived, he was subject to quite a lot of racism, really, which there was an editorial in the paper which said, "We want footballers, not mariachis."
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah, in the paper, in the paper in the early 80s. And funny enough, he goes and scores a ton of goals for Atleti and wins Pichichi. The season he wins Pichichi, Real come looking. And to avoid, this is mental, to avoid the blowback off the fans, because obviously they don't get on very well, they transferred him back to UNAM in Mexico. He went there, did the signing in a bank. They did it for 50 grand, and then he came straight back to Madrid and signed for Real.
Whoa, I didn't. That is fantastic.
Like, that's going to stop them being pissed off.
Yeah.
And not only have they signed him, you've tried to hoodwink us as well.
Yeah.
It's player laundering.
Player laundering. Wow. So
sandbagging.
It would be fair to say he went on a 5-season tear. The things I didn't know about Hugo Sanchez before doing this research, and there's a fellow who keeps stalking our TikTok videos saying, do you just read Wikipedia and then tell each other what you've learned? Not always, but it is okay to do research and learn more things and tell them to other people, because otherwise we'd know as much as you, you fucking troglodyte. And we'd spend our time commenting on internet videos instead of telling people stories.
Yes.
Now get back behind the algorithm, you fucking dancing cat loving fuckwit. Anyway,
yes,
Hugo Sanchez, back
that's
onto him.
So good,
the things I didn't know. One, he was the top scorer of the 1980s in the whole world. Top scorer of the decade.
That's mad.
Yeah, the headline numbers of his time at Madrid, 280 games, 208 goals or something like that.
Whoa.
So big numbers before big numbers like that were necessarily commonplace, and since they have since Messi, Ronaldo, and now the Norwegian cyborg and Killy. But...
Killy.
Fucking hell, you can have fun going and spending a bit of time watching Sanchez. But so this season, the 38 one-touch goal season, it ended up being his fifth Pichichi in a row. He became known as Penta Pichichi. Five being...
Yeah.
Seb was thinking, where are they going with this?
Pentagon?
Pentagon, Pentagon.
Pentagram?
No, MI6 is what he was thinking, but...
Pentecost? I don't know what he's saying.
The fifth Wednesday after Pentecost.
Still all to do with five, Seb. All those things.
Yeah.
Also...
So,
very good, right?
So there's a few things you should know now. You can go and watch. Do yourself a favour and go and watch a bit. Go and watch a bit of Hugo Sanchez because it's great and it's fun. You're like, fuck me, why don't I know more about him? Or you know, I remember him from Shoot and Match in the 80s, but I'm not going to pretend I know loads about him. I knew he was Real Madrid record scorer at one point until people took over, and I remember when his season record got broke by Cristiano, but. He nearly managed Barnsley in 2011. And this was from Tim Vickery. I've discussed the fact he was top scorer in the world in the 80s, 315 goals throughout the decade. But also, and this is a row that seems to have rumbled on, he claims he invented the scorpion kick and René Aguita stole it off him.
Oh.
But there's no video evidence. He says he was doing it in training all the time. Now, another thing about Sanchez was he celebrated every goal with a somersault. And it was a standing somersault and he would land it. And it was both a tribute to his sister, who was in the 1976 Montreal Olympics for Mexico as a gymnast, and his mother was acrobatic as well. John Toshack, when asked to name... I mean, Toshack was the manager for this 89-90 season, and it was Toshack's first spell at Real as manager, John Benjamin Toshack. Now, John Toshack, when asked about his favourite player, he always says John Charles, but then after that he said John Charles was my childhood hero, but I loved Hugo Sanchez, and he managed him. Now, what Tosh doesn't get a lot of credit for is this Madrid team were the first ever team in La Liga in 89-90 to score over 100 league goals.
They
scored 107. Wow. They tore the arse left, right and centre out of teams. Unfortunately, they failed in Europe because they got an absolute shoo-in off the great Milan team. He was up front with Butragueño, the Vulture, who they hated each other. They were the Sheringham and Cole of Spain, yeah. But also another thing about Sanchez, and this is more important here, you've seen how fucking good he looked in the 80s. Oh, my God alive.
Yeah, yeah.
The type of striker or the type of player your mum would say, oh, I don't mind him. And you go,
he's a bit dishy. Yeah, a bit dishy.
Yeah. You go, oh, mom, don't say that. Oh, he is, though. He's lovely. You can have posts of him, but mom, don't say that. God's sake.
Certainly not in domestic football. There weren't many of those characters.
No, and then the manager before Tosh was Leo Benhakker, the Dutch coach. Ooh. And... Hugo, you should also know, went under the nickname Hugol.
Makes sense.
That's pretty good.
Like Hez goal.
Yeah. His most famous goal was against Logroñés, I think that's how you pronounce it. And it's a left-footed overhead kick. And the thing I love about watching Sanchez do overhead kicks that he does, we scored so many of them. It was as dependable as a tap-in. And he scores such a different variety of them. And if you go and study them, it's what he does beforehand. Mm. And he always moves into the right position, where a lot of overhead kicks are more instinctive. When you see players do them, they're rooted to the spot and they sort of jump. Like the very good overhead kickers, or Chilena, I believe it's the South American players call it. They sort of move or manoeuvre their body, and he always does it. But this one against Logroño. So afterwards, Leo Benhakker said, when someone scores a goal like that, they should stop the game and give the 80,000 in the crowd a glass of champagne to celebrate having seen it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
Pretty good.
Love that.
That's lovely. That is damn good.
And that's pretty good, isn't it? Apparently when he was playing in Mexico, when the commentators used to say, go Sanchez, he'd say, see how many somersaults he could do while he was doing it. So,
go.
This is now when Seb says he's been out for dinner with him or something.
No, I don't know anyone that's actually...
The champagne thing's good, isn't it?
The champagne. Yeah,
I saw Joel Golby yesterday on Twitter asking if you could change one rule or add a rule about football, what would it be? And I feel like if there's a bicycle kick going, you can have a little glass of champagne.
Yeah. It's a really good one.
But I think if you watch that goal, I think you can keep all your other overhead kicks. I think it is the best one. It makes the ball curl.
Should we have a quick watch?
Oh, let's watch it again. Let's watch it again. I know this is a bit haunted, lads, but it's so good that it deserves it. You can keep your Trevor Sinclairs.
Oh,
he hits it so clean.
And there we go. There's his somersault. Fucking have some of that.
That's the thing I remember about Sanchez in the era of like Shoot Magazine, Match Magazine, maybe some World Soccers and stuff,
Was your mum nicking it all the time?
was the goal scoring... And again, no one did celebrations like that. So
not in England, they didn't.
It felt like no one did that, certainly in England, and that was...
It's a little bit better than Robbie Keane's somersault, isn't it?
Yes, they're proper. And I think when you sent me that link, and when you said 38 goals, every single one first
did
touch,
you pause like, it to see if he was taking a touch?
No. I thought this is simply impossible. This cannot be true.
There's one 40-odd screamer he scores, and you think, oh, he's taking a touch, but he hasn't. He's got pass straight into him, he just buries it.
It's incredible.
You said it at the beginning, but the variation. The fact that there's free kicks on there for a striker as well.
I remember posting that video, the 38 goals thing, about 7 years ago on Mundial. It was his birthday. I did exactly the same. I thought, this cannot be possible. And then just watched it on loop for about half an hour.
That's what I did on the train.
Hang on, is he going to take a touch there? Is he going to take a touch there? No.
It's outrageous.
It's
hypnotic.
It is hypnotic. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's hypnotic. Like, if you added the 38 one after another, they've just the punch of the ball, like, do.
Yes. Yes.
I think Tommy, as a goalkeeper, a one-touch finish is always the most difficult to try and save.
100%.
Because you haven't had a chance to set yourself. They haven't had a chance to... You haven't had a chance to second guess where their first touch means they're going to put the ball. When I've played in goal, and I've played in goal before, I've made saves before, I've put in some good performances. I'm actually pretty good. Don't come at me with that.
I reckon I'm a better keeper than you.
No chance. Ooh. No chance. You ask the football co-lot. What happened when I played in goal a couple of weeks ago.
They were all glad you weren't out shouting at yourself. So they've told you anything.
Yeah, fair.
But, you're right, though. No, you're right.
Because you don't have a chance to set yourself.
I reckon if you and me went onto a pitch and had a penalty shootout,
I would save more than you, for sure.
Against each other, five each. And then you go in goal for each other as well.
I'm like a cat. My reactions are just fucking...
Yeah, I've seen your cat.
Put on a lot of weight, actually. Yeah.
Get out. This is
overfed over Christmas.
Well, an emotional eater, isn't it?
Pardon?
An emotional eater. You've left it again.
She. To her. Yeah. Favi. She's very stressed. She's very stressed.
I was going to ask quickly, and maybe it's a bit of a sort of, I don't know, a bit of a basic question, but who would you say, just because I even asked my dad about him and he didn't have much recollection of him,
He looks a bit like your dad.
Does he? Looks like the goose man.
A little bit.
He'll take that.
Well, your dad's not, you know, there's a swarthiness to...
Are you a goose?
There is, yeah.
He's got like a darker skin complexion.
Yes, he has, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Olive,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got olive skin.
Yeah.
You go, son. Do you know what? Not saying they're you know...
He's going to love this.
Lookalikes, but there is... Well, have a look at Hugo... Type in Hugo Sanchez now.
Has your dad got a one-touch finish on him, Tommy, or...?
Yeah, he's a classy player.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
It's five of us.
47.
Once it's finished.
One for every episode.
Tell you what.
That's not your dad, is it, Tommy?
A little bit.
Honestly, you having it?
I was just going to ask, is there a sort of modern equivalent or comparison just for younger people or just a one-off?
No, because he was so clean in everything he did, whereas your mind might go to a Suarez or Tevez, but they were a lot more bustly and ball bouncing everywhere and like, I know.
Bit of a Nistelrooy?
No. He wasn't big, but he was incredible in the air. Great jump from his acrobatic training.
Yeah.
Brilliant Barnett.
Everyone should watch, like you said, everyone should go and watch him because, yeah.
And look, if a football romantic like old John Benjamin Toshack rates you up there just after John Charles with a couple of others, that'll do, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll do.
100%.
All right, I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's the fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks, too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
When I beat you at this penalty shootout, James, will you start calling me Hugo? Yeah.
Honestly, let's do it.
What
let's
goals?
Get the listeners.
What goals?
It would be great.
Seven aside goals.
Okay. I've got no doubt about this. I'm a better penalty taker and a better goalkeeper.
Let's get them round, call them up. Me and you, they can take one each.
No, you and me just have a penalty shootout against each other.
Against each other?
Yeah.
Even fucking better.
Yeah.
One step?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, mate, yeah.
You're fucked then.
No, no.
You'll be able to compose yourself?
I'm good.
You'll need Seb in the canal on a coracle. Moving on. Tommy, I haven't heard you sing it for a while.
Mascots of the world, unite and take over.
A word to whoever in our Discord the other day, and I can't remember, you've all got weird names and short names, and it's not your actual names, and it's very confusing for a man of my advance and years, but whoever put James's head on Morrissey, thank you.
I think it was username Swan.
It was Swan.
Yeah. Swan, a serial offender.
Yeah. Swan.
Yeah, he was the one who took me announcing 1 year of sobriety and turned me into a dictator using that photo. So he's our kind of fella.
Yeah. He's good in the Discord, Swan.
He's good. Yeah, he is. They're all good. Oh, no, as I said to James last night, though, that picture of him photoshopped on Morrissey could just be one of his old Facebook photos. Yeah. Same clothes.
Yeah.
Same clothes and walking around with a fucking bunch of gladioli. There's James up a tree.
Why do you know that that's on Facebook? You are a dirty lurker, aren't you?
No, yeah. You showed them your once. Look at these old Nike blazers I had.
How on earth do you remember that?
It's everything.
Fucking hell, because I am wearing Nike blazers in that photo. Yeah.
It's because it was very
what
early.
What colour
were
they? What colour were the Nike blazers?
There was some fucking disgusting orange, weren't they?
Yeah, like something. A mustard colour.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah. Horrible. Wouldn't be seen dead in them. Anyway.
But anyway, mascots of the bloody world, isn't it?
It is.
I didn't know if I should go back to Scotland, but my most recent one was a Scottish mascot, Paisley Panda, and it's fair to say my DMs and WhatsApps were plentiful about who I should do next, and from another Scottish mascot, and that is Sammy the Tammy.
Ooh.
Who is Dunfermline's mascot.
I was going to say they're not going to shag you, mate, but it sounds like they already have. Sent back off to Scotland again.
No. I have to say, it was, you have to do this. And I thought, okay, camp, this is going to be a lot of bluster and stuff. But when I delved into it, oh my God, this is one of the very, very best mascots.
Bluster. A lot of bluster.
Since 1995, he all came about from...
This is going to be a lot of bloody bluster.
This is going
to... Oh, look at him, old bluster bud vessel over here.
Oh, you're naughty, you're naughty. Sammy the Tammy came about after a competition with
Sammy
supporters
the fucking Tammy.
In 1995. And Tammy stands for the Tam O'Shanter, if anyone doesn't know that. I don't know why Sammy, but I should have asked that. Anyway.
Rhymes.
He's got his own profile on the official site.
What do you mean?
Because it rhymes. Well, maybe it's just that then. Yeah.
It's going to be Dave the Tammy, is it?
Yeah, true. Dave the Tammy.
Ryan. Ryan the Tammy.
Murdo. Murdo the Tammy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Catchy. Anyway, yeah. Sammy the Tammy.
He's got his own, let's just say, 1995, and in the year 2024, he's got his...
Can I just say, sorry.
I don't know if this is the right podcast for me anymore.
Can I just say to the people listening that we have a bit of a running order, right, with the odd bullet points to refer
bullet
back
points,
to. Yeah. But Seb's first bullet point of this, Sammy the Tammy, and he hasn't used a bullet, he's used a dash.
He's used a dash!
Causing...
Why is that so funny?
Causing mither and mischief since 1995 after a supporter competition. A self-proclaimed, open quote, boisterous prankster, close quote.
And boisterous is spelt wrong. It says bozzy terrorist. A bozzy terrorist.
Bozzy terrorist. Played up front for Levski Sofia. He's got an official profile on the website. And it, under the topic weight, it says over, which I thought was quite good. Yeah, he is a bossy terrorist prankster, as you know. But he is a legend. And I spoke to Mikey, a Dunfermline fan, who got in touch with us after a little shout-out on Twitter, who also, Mikey, designed the club badge, which Dunfermline's badge is fucking brilliant. It's one of the only triangle ones, if not the only triangle one in Britain, but it looks incredible. And that was what a lot of the replies to the tweet was. But he replied basically saying, I can tell you all about Sammy the Tammy, essentially. So here's, let him fill you in on what and who he is.
Most famous in 2011 was before the Big Fife Derby against Raith Rovers. And it was a winner-takes-all title-deciding game, pretty much. Full house. And at that point, the Prime Minister was Gordon Brown, who is a Raith Rovers supporter, with Sammy's pre-match routine for that one. He came out in a cardboard tank, and over the PA system, PA announcer decided to play gunshots. Basically, Sammy was firing gunshots at the Raith Rovers supporters to fire them down, basically, because Dunfermline were going to win the game and win the league. However, with the Prime Minister in the stand, with all of his security, as you can imagine, it didn't go down too well when you're playing gunshots over the PA system. So that was one of his most famous incidents. He's helped stoke the developing rivalry with Falkirk. The Falkirk rivalry has probably escalated in the last 20 years or so, I would say. The two clubs are quite similar in size, always been in and around the same division, and Sammy's done various routines again pre-match. In terms of fans of opposition clubs, I think Sammy's one of these mascots that has a reputation of being a fun-loving mascot. I think opposition fans look forward to seeing what he's going to get up to. He's always been known as Scotland's number one mascot. We're lucky to have him. He's a great asset to the football club, and long may he continue.
What a great accent.
Yeah, incredible. That's why he had to be a voice note.
Has everyone seen the Tank Man picture? The Tank Mascot.
He's described the most famous or infamous moment of Sammy the Tammy, where he comes on as a tank. Now, this isn't any ordinary tank. This is...
Let me describe this.
Go on, Owen. Yeah, you describe this, because it's incredible.
So, it's a tank made out of cardboard boxes. And this looks like... This looks like the type of thing Seb might do when the black dog's barking. Rebecca, can you go to the supermarket and get me all the big boxes possible? I'm going to be all right, but if I do not build this cardboard panzer...
It's essentially a cardboard tank. He's inside an actual box, and he stuck another box onto it, and then he's put a massive tube on the end.
It's amazing.
It is incredible. And he walked out to the centre circle and pretended to shoot the Raith fans,
and Gordon Brown.
Now, we've spoken about mascots before, and this sometimes has been the death knell of these mascots, where they phased them out. But Sammy the Tammy has stayed, and he is still there, and he's still a massive, massive part of...
Well, Seb's finally managed a moment to combine his three great loves of football, tanks, and people dressing as furry animals.
And banter.
And banter, yeah.
And banter. It's a lot of banter. Yeah. And he does it, and he's still...
I love him.
He had an inflatable champagne bottle once that said Falkirk's tears, and he was drinking out of it after they beat them and stuff.
Did he?
Yeah. He is. He goes a full whack. But the Falkirk and Raith thing is obviously passionate. The Fife Derby, again, we're fine.
I love Fife. It's one of my favourite places in the world. I used to spend a lot of time there.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, it's sad, this Fife Derby, and when he was telling me about the different reasons for it, Mikey is one of the very good guys and was telling me...
They won't let you into Fife.
Ah.
Just the whole place. Yeah. The football club all.
What a thing to say. Yeah. As someone's about to tell a legitimate anecdote Owen just to go, they won't let you into that town.
Fife's not a town.
Like he was going to try.
No, it's Fife's a really county.
It's a county.
Okay, they won't let you into that county.
And you know who, and whilst researching this and trying to find out new things, which is always a good thing, do you know who the provost of Fife is? Which is essentially, like a glorified mayor, isn't it? Type of thing.
Yeah.
It is the former Dunfermline legendary manager Jim Leishman.
Is it now?
Yeah, who was well known in Scottish circles. But
Tommy's face, who the fuck is fucking hell is he on about now?
Anyway,
I just did a panicked look to you.
Let's just say he's a legendary Dunfermline manager. But to give you a sense of how much esteem Sammy the Tammy is held by people in Dunfermline, the brilliant guys, as we've mentioned before, A View from the Terrace. they did a feature on Sammy the Tammy, in which they interviewed Jim Leishman, who basically staunchly defends him and said he's only a bit of fun and football's supposed to be about humour and fun and laughter, and he does a great job and stuff like this, which is essentially like Alex Ferguson backing Fred the Red at Football Focus. You know, he's a mascot that people like. You know, I think sometimes we can be...
I don't believe they do.
We can be a bit...
I'm sorry.
No, people are high-fiving him and having pictures of him and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe they do.
He is quite cute looking on the face. Yeah, yeah. Not his antics, but just aesthetically, he is quite adorable.
He's fun, and I think he adds something. And the people from Dunfermline are very, very fond of him. And I think, he's cheeky. He's boisterous and mischievous.
Playing gunshots through the stadium.
He got a ticking off for that.
Not only has Brown sold all the gold, he's also been shot by a fucking mascot.
Well, when we take our mascots to unite and take the world over, and Sammy the Tammy is going to be out the front with Jenny the Giraffe.
Scotland, as always, rich.
They do provide rich material. The old mascots, don't they?
Oof. Rich material.
I knew you'd think you were better than me in golf.
I've been playing golf a bit, but I'm a good keeper as well. I dive, put it in. Good at angles. Lower central gravity than you. Probably a bit more athletic.
It's just bollocks.
We support this. We support this. We support this now. We support this now.
Oh, God, it felt good to do that.
That was really good.
We support these now is the quarterly Monday Owl, backslapping, give ourselves a reach around, look what we've been up to for the last 3 months, buy it, you wankers. And if you've read it already or got it, read it and tell other people about it. So today, if you're not a subscriber, if you are a subscriber, you've probably had your magazine by now. If you haven't, do not tell me, do not tell Seb, do not tell James, do not tell Tommy. Email inquiries@mondalestudio.com where the hoods will get back to you. If it's not between April the 7th and the 14th, well, then they're on holiday.
A much-deserved holiday.
And Kitty will get back to you. But enough about our customer service. Anyway, so we've got a new issue out. It is the Kits Special. Rude Hullet on the front. It's a Kits Special in our own style. I'm going to read you the cover lines. Inside, an Orangey Odyssey. That's how they pronounce it, isn't it? Orangey. We'll say orange, though, won't we? They'll say it weird.
Yeah.
An Orange Odyssey. A cultural icon, the greatest shirt in search of Rude Hullet's eternal flame, which, as the eagle-eared amongst you will know, that I missed the podcast a few weeks ago because I was in. No, because I was writing it after being to the Netherlands. And talking shirty with Jackson, Irvin, Coldwell, Steve, Charlie Cooper, Idols, Lee Trundle, Graham Hunter and more. James interviewed, got voice notes off, talked to the great, good, and us of the football to talk about their shirts that meant a lot to them. There's some fucking great stories in there, some funny ones. Obviously, Charlie Cooper is the co-star of one of the greatest things that's ever been on TV. 100%. I think it's a high watermark of British like mockumentary.
I think it's the best comedy in the last 10 years.
And
easily.
just by the magazine to read why a certain shirt is his favourite, because it's
so funny.
It's a very funny story.
It's like an outtake from This Country. And if you haven't seen This Country, I mean, buy the mag first, but go and watch This Country, because you are literally missing out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
40 years of revolution with Europe's first gay team. James wrote a piece with Hackney Women's FC, who it's great. They've had some wonderful kits as well. Oh. That's why it's in the kits issue. And below that, plus the confessions of a bootleg shirt baron. Someone we know became a bootleg shirt baron, and they've written about it. Yeah, elsewhere we've got some great photos from the front line in Mali. Oh, we've got Days of Speed.
Hey.
Mundial friend, AFC Wimbledon founder. With other people, he always makes us add that caveat. Yeah. I'm always so sensitive about it, Mark. Just fucking get over it. You did it. We all know you did it. It's a good thing you did. We're glad you did it.
A brilliant thing you did.
Mark has got to design Wimbledon kits. The kit, and he's done it before, but these ones he's had full collaboration with Umbro
and Kitlocker
and Kitlocker to design the kits, and the results are spectacular. We wore them on the podcast ages ago, but I'm going to start with you, James. If there's one reason they should buy the magazine or one thing you love the most in it, what would it be?
Okay, well, I love all the stuff you've already mentioned. I'm going to talk about Jackie McCassie very quickly, because Jackie McCassie runs and founded the pioneering girl fanzine, who have been...
A brilliant person, a brilliant
shooting important. Shooting portraits of women football fans for about 10 years. She's also head of fashion lecturing at Liverpool John Moores. She's very, very... I'm fucking quite in awe of Jackie. I think she's a very, very clever person. And this time last year, she posted some photos of women football fans outside the ground to her Instagram feed. And people responded, as they do, going, wow, these are amazing, these are amazing, these are amazing. Sort of very, very trendy... old women outside grounds. I messaged her saying, buy me Jackie, this new project is incredible. She messaged back saying, I don't know what to tell you, James, they're actually AI. And I wanted to see the reaction to football fans who just sort of swipe through their feed very, very quickly and don't even look at the badge and don't even look at if the stadium's real and just go, oh my God, these are beautiful, and then move on to something else.
A glory lichen on you go.
Exactly. So she, Jackie did a load of new sort of AI images for the magazine, and then wrote a really just fucking clever and insightful piece about artificial intelligence and how that is affecting and how it's going to affect football and design and fashion going forward. So I would say buy it for that. It's a fucking brilliant piece.
Yeah, it's very good. And the cover line for that is shirt dual insanity.
Yeah,
we've let the robots in,
which is
that we'd given up by that point.
We let the robots
Seb.
Quick shout out for the Hackney Women's story. I think it's a fantastic story and some incredible archive imagery from their story. But, and I'm not just saying this because he sat there, but the Ruud Gullit piece is one of the best things we've had in the mag. It's the best thing about Mundial, and people go on journeys and find things out along the way, and it's the people they meet, it's the stories they find out, and I think it's the best, one of a great example of that, which Owen and other people have done before, but I think the Ruud Gullit piece is an excellent story about a player that probably doesn't get enough credit.
Well, it might be recency bias, Seb, but I do thank you for that. I also thank you to James and James and Alex, actually, for at one point I was sort of going to do phone interviews and stuff like that, and they said, no, you should go, you should go, you should go, you should go, and it reminded... I don't get to just feel like a journalist very often anymore.
Mm.
And I wanted to sort of, every now and again, you need to remind yourself why you love football.
Yes.
Because on the day-to-day, there's a lot of reasons that can remind you why you fucking should hate it. Mm. But I went and I got the train and I went and met some really good people. I met a guy called Floor Vesling, who James interviewed a few years ago. Great bloke. He does Blood In, Blood Out, which are the shirt company. He basically cuts shirts up and makes art artifacts out of new ones. He was wonderful. You can buy it to read it, to be honest, because I worked hard on it, so you're not going to get much of it off me. But just safe to say, I didn't expect him to say what he said, and it set me off on a great few days. I met a couple of old journalists, a couple of journalists in their 50s who... from Harlem, who remember Ruud when he made his debut there. I met another journalist who's interviewed him at various stages through his year, and just some different people. And I think the Netherlands is in a bit of a weird position at the moment, similar to us and similar to a lot of places in Europe, in that there's a right-wing wannabe demagogue who's trying to become more and more prominent with ridiculous hair. in every interview I spoke, it was referenced without being overtly referenced. Mm. Everyone mentioned it. And it's sort of, he's the only Dutch men's captain to ever lift a trophy. And I think that's always worth remembering, that the players they've had. But there's some great stuff comes up in there of people saying that's when they finally felt the war had ended for them.
Right.
And not just that, but just that there'd been everything, that there'd been kids who'd grown up when they lost the 74 final. And they felt like they'd sort of been cheated out of that then Ruud sort of like, and Ruud and Marco, and that helped. And I just found out more about him as a person. I didn't need to find anything out about him as a player. And if I will say one thing, is that one fella told me how he was nearly in tears in the Ajax stadium when AC Milan came to play, and Ajax fans were booing and whistling him, and he was going, you can't do that, you can't do that, he's our best, you know, he's the best player of ours. And he said they were scared, of course, they were scared of what he could do. And by that point, Ruud was knees broken, not far from moving to England, etc. But he still held a bit of a, he was still Ruud Gullit. But so I enjoyed doing it. Jackson Irving. What would happen if
Sexy Jackson
Mundial 3D printed a human of their DNA, of their shared DNA?
Yeah. Naomi. He has the same shirt collection as me.
Naomi Accardi about trying to find her dad's shirts.
Yeah, Naomi, amazing. I'm trying to find a dad's shirt. Mr. Riccardi looks superb. Our very own, our very good friend, Tyre Papula, Flo Lloyd Hughes on QPR, Charlie Cooper again, Adam Devonshire, bassist with Idols.
Yes.
Ruben Dangor about Arsenal, PJ Smith about Cameroon. There's some great shirts in here.
It's a fucking Dream Blunt rotation, the cast of this magazine, isn't it?
Graham Hunter's there.
Oh, right.
Who would be, Graham, if you are listening, you would be in my Dream Blunt rotation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Graham.
And Dream Pint rotation.
There's also Diana Al-Shamari in that, who is the football girl who does those embroidered shirts.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
She's in it talking about how the first fake that she writes about seeing her first fake shirt. So a fake
embroidered first fake
shirt
of hers
in Morocco, yeah, in a store.
Did she love it?
Quite cool. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
I think it's an incredible issue of the magazine. I think that we could have taken an easy route and just printed 100 pages of the best kits, and maybe people would have liked that more. What we've done instead is done what we do best, which is tell human stories connected to football shirts. So whether that's designing your boyhood club or the club that you saved or found its kit, whether it's going in search of one of your childhood heroes in terms of Hullet, Hackney Women's FC, the first out gay team in Europe and probably the world. So again, they're amazing stories that are connected to shirts as opposed to just being pictures of nice shirts, which you can find on the internet.
All right, Statman Dave here. You may know me from such things as that Peter Crouch podcast, the BBC, and being all over the internet. I spend a lot of my time looking at numbers, and that's why sometimes I need to read some good old words. That's why I look forward to receiving The Hat-Trick, a weekly football newsletter from Mundial. Stories about heroes and villains, love and hate, last-minute winners, mad shirts, all delivered to your inbox. Sign up to The Hat-Trick today at mundialmag.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. So I will go Seb.
My in for this week is good proper coffee at the match. Obviously, years and years of watching football, drinking various bits of Bovril, meaty, half-strong water, to various pints, to various hot chocolates. But at Hampton and Richmond at the moment, they've got a proper coffee van, and it was just nice to just sit there and have a nice proper coffee at the match. Not one that that tasted like swill and cost a quid.
How would you know? You've got one taste bud.
Wow, this is true. So I will ring up Matthew Glue, who would defend.
Oh, yeah, Glue. Oh, yeah, fucking yeah, hell. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gluey. Yeah. Fucking hell. Anthony Bourdain of the suburb.
To be fair, he cooked us an amazing roast the other day.
How would you know?
Again.
Did it look good?
Yeah, it looked amazing. The one taste bud.
That's taste, mate.
Only gets activated in the Hampton area.
Good proper coffee at the match is in. Tommy.
Playing football in tights. I
can't imagine how sweaty his legs get.
Oh, God. Oh, you don't want to know. Think of the smell. No. But I was kind of against them, but I used to take the piss out of my dad for always wearing tights when he played football. But the tights, oh my God, obviously they keep your legs a bit warm in the winter, but also as a goalkeeper, just a lifesaver. My knees, I'm not like having these, I complained recently on the
you
pod
did,
about
yeah.
having bloody open knees yeah. that just get Love like it. Opened up twice a week whenever I play football again.
Game's gone.
What do you mean? What, with the tights? All right, Barton.
No. Just goalkeepers not wanting to hurt their knees.
I love hurting my knees, but you know, I'd rather hurt them less.
What?
Yeah. I'd rather restrict the pain.
What?
I suppose you've got goosing to do as well. Haven't you? You can't,
there
have,
you go.
Can't no. have your scabs coming off.
There you go.
Sorry, just very quickly. What an incredibly male 10 seconds that was to have. Oh, what? The world's gone mad. Goalkeepers used to love hurting their knees. The argument back, I do love hurting my knees. Oh my God.
I didn't even really mean game's gone. No. I like wearing tights as well. I just wanted to see if he'd bite.
I wonder do. If
he, does Preecy wear tights?
Okay, yeah, playing football in tights is in.
Thank you, mate.
I like hurting my knees.
You mean like base layer stuff, not actual women's tights?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
well,
weird.
That would be fine though, if I wanted to do that.
John Barnes did that What's once, didn't he?
I don't mind it, Seb.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Seb, I would love to see you in some sheer. The anaconda's pumping.
Oh.
Seb's got massive legs. Like, really good legs. Really good, strong, like...
Like two Groots.
You could, like
two old trees.
Yeah, you can imagine him walking across the... yeah, like Groot. You can imagine him walking... James won't know that. You can imagine him walking across the Alps like Hannibal.
Yeah. Tell you what...
You'd have been good on one of Botham's big walks.
If you have your penalty shootout competition against each other...
You'll wear tights?
I'll put some Sheen tights on for a
laugh. Well, you should be
but
in
But you're
it,
not
then.
Even playing.
You're going to come as Frankenfurter from the Rocky Horror Show. But we're having a penalty shootout, so... Yeah,
just... No, just me in the background, should, straight.
We should, before the next record, we should do a penalty shootout, all of us.
Oh.
But Tommy's an actual goalie.
Sorry, yeah. I reckon I'm better than him.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I got my
Tommy's a really good goalie.
Seb has changed this out three times on the run.
He changed his in as well.
He's in trouble, is all I'll say.
I bet.
In Chinatowns, just Chinatowns generally across. They're areas that are always alive. There's always something interesting going on. The food is always just fucking delicious. What are you two laughing at?
I'm laughing at him.
I just can't wait till you get
I love him.
Past 38 and you look back on pretentious James and go, God, I was a bit of a dick.
What's a bit of a dick about enjoying Chinatowns?
I love Chinatowns.
Oh, I walk through the one in London every day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Oh, it's too many bubble tea places for my life.
You just like good, proper British tea, don't you?
Like the fucking country.
Joking aside, I haven't been...
Because if there's anything British, Seb, thoroughbred British, it's tea, imported from India.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put Chinatown around the world out, so I'll put it in. My in, talking about pretentiousness in cities, me and James...
Here we fucking go.
He's admitting it.
I've called myself out. I know I am, brother. I know I am. One day you'll be fully comfortable in your own skin and you'll be able to embrace stuff
so
like this with me.
Fucking chill.
You will be gone.
As you will know, and this is the last time we're going to mention it apart from in my outs in a minute, is James and I visited the US. Looking around, different things to do. Now I just can't go on the screaming piss for 5 days in New York. And you know, as Seb will remember, Seb had to stop me getting on the bar in Coyote Ugly last time we were there together.
Oh.
Day one on a 3-week shoot.
You little slut.
What'll happen if I get at this bar? I said.
What will happen?
After six Sambucas, we'll chuck you out. Seb, I'm going to get on the bar. I just said they'll chuck you out.
Honestly.
He had to hold my leg. There is a famous Russian and Turkish sauna. Yeah. In the East Village, which has been there since 1892. It must be printing money. $60 single admission. And anyway, I'd read a bit about it and I sort of saw so many different people from a spread of like ages and ethnicities and types of people from like an American version of a white van man to a fitness influencer from LA talking about it. And I was like, I'm gonna have to go and check this out. Walk down and there's a normal redwood sauna, very hot. And there's a Turkish one, bit wetter. There's a steam room, and then there's a freezing, freezing cold, massive plunge. But then in the corner, it says Russian room.
Ooh.
And you get the feeling that this is where the real action happens. Anyway, so I walked over, opened the door, and it was like It was like something out of like a Game of Thrones or something in there.
Ooh.
Hotter than anything they've ever been in. But they do this thing called Platzka, which is you get washed down and being hit with fucking birch leaves and stuff like that. And there's two of them. But it was one of the most rhythmical, interesting things I've ever seen. There was these two blokes. There was the senior and the junior. Imagine if me and James were the Platzka pair. Yeah. There's me, the big daddy with the hat on. And there's his number two. Does a bit more of the running around, but still very, very... Very, very key in the operation.
I don't work at this sauna.
They'll be hit like just like they're playing like drums with brushes, you know, when you get an old jazz drummer. And then all of a sudden, bang, fucking whack, start whacking them. Then the young bloke would drop down, Birdo. He'd get a bucket of water, chuck a bit over his own head, chuck a bit over me, the gaffer, chuck a bit over the sauna, chuck a bit over the bloke on the top, and then they go back to brushing. And then whack, then wash them down, then jump down, another water, over their head, over someone else's head who's not even involved for a bit of theatre, over the book. And I was like, fuck me, this is...
Sick.
Yeah, I could have watched it all day.
Wow.
Incredible. So I had a massage off Sasha.
Good.
Ukrainian Sasha, yeah. We, you know, talked about the conflict.
Oh. Did you?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a Ukrainian working in a Russian bathhouse in New York. I'm not going to not ask him, am I?
It's going to come up.
You'd have brought him back. He'd be living at your house. I just talked to him. Matilda, I know you're coming to see me in New York. Sasha's going to be with us for the next 3 days. What is he? No. He's been in New York 25 years, but you know.
We're just going to talk. I just want to raise the point that just wandering around Chinatown enjoying the sights is more considered more pretentious than paying $60 to go and watch someone throw a bucket of water over someone else's head.
No, because he's in the he's experiencing the
so
room
was
at
I.
the same time.
So was I.
Yeah, but you're too cheap to pay for it. In.
Fucking.
That's very, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Out. James, lost another pair, have we?
AirPods.
Lost them?
I just lost one, yeah.
Oh,
one!
Yeah, so.
That's annoying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, my mum buys me a pair of AirPods for Christmas. Lovely present, mum.
Did she buy you actual AirPods or she get down Cowsley Market for some?
It could be either. You get good fakes, man. You get good fakes now. Yeah, I just.
What if your mum was a. It turned out your mum was a fake AirPod impresario. Jackie, I thought you'd retired. You've got loads of money at the moment.
Well, she got banned, didn't she? She got banned off Spock for peddling fake gear.
Yeah.
She did.
She did.
Yeah. She was Spock. There was one called Spock, which I think is like in a Facebook marketplace version. Yeah. She was selling fake Ted Baker handbags on there. Yeah. Just ones that she'd like found in the wardrobe from holidays gone by. I went home once and I went through the front door and turned left into the lounge. There's something weird in. I went right into the kitchen. I realised that there wasn't any doors to any of the rooms.
She sold the doors.
She sold all the doors.
No, shut up. This
is
incredible.
All the doors are gone.
AirPods out.
Yeah,
out. Tommy.
Not be able to sleep when you play late night football. Maybe it should just be late night football anyway.
Just have a fucking pint or something then. That doesn't work either.
If only I could.
Yeah. You're not allowed.
If only I could, mate. If only I could. I find myself pacing for an hour after football.
Well, the adrenaline.
But when you are football,
are you replaying everything you've done in your head? Good.
Yeah. Like till I sleep. Yeah,
he does talk to himself on the pitch though, so I think this is a consequence of him just getting so absorbed into the game, not just natural adrenaline.
Oh, would you be the type of wicketkeeper I went after with a bat? Would you be fucking non-stop yapping?
No, mainly at my own players, like just trying to encourage and instruct.
Out, I suppose.
Thank you.
Seb has changed. Is out 3 times while we've been on this show.
Yeah, twice.
So that's a yellow card.
Yeah.
And you don't get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, come on.
No. No sooner. And again, we're talking. We might be talking about my taste bud again here.
Taste, mate.
Taste bud. No sooner have I.
What you call it? Terry.
Terry, taste, mate.
Rebecca, what's that you're cooking up in the kitchen? My taste bud is tingling.
My taste buddy.
Are we gonna reel it on Instagram?
Terry,
a food Instagram account just called Taste Bud. Yeah, this is good. Yep, this is good. This is good as well.
Spicy, good.
Good, 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 good. And every so often, sensational. No sooner have I ordered and then eaten and devoured my chicken from the brilliant Popeyes.
Other chicken is available.
Other chicken is available, but Popeyes is right next to Richmond Station and has proved very handy on a number of different occasions. No sooner have I ordered...
I'd love to get... I might get a camera, a secret camera put outside that.
Yeah.
And get a super cut of you devouring chicken.
How good is it when you see people in the wild? Oh. When you see people that you know... Out in the wild, you bump into them. When I was back recently, I saw my dad exiting Sainsbury's and I was just like, fuck, this is incredible. I'm just going to sit and watch him for 2 minutes.
Did
you? From Sainsbury's. Yeah, just sat and watched him, yeah.
Did he do anything weird?
What? Always, yeah. So
what's your beef with with Popeye's chicken?
So I ordered, because they make a thing about you ordering it on your phone and stuff like that. So as soon as I ordered and then eaten it and devoured it, they send me another voucher. Like literally within 10 minutes for like, oh, you can get some free wings or some free this, free that. So I just end up sitting there and just eating loads of chicken.
What's the next one after another?
Yeah. I haven't been more than once, I think.
So hang on,
this is fucking...
I should catch the bus now. Actually, I've got a voucher for free wings. Nah, fuck it, I'm going to stay here and have some more wings.
And then you eat the wings and then they send you another email.
Quick enough, you might never leave.
Well, no, yeah, so...
They know.
It's brilliant.
Stuck in Popeye's chicken for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Honestly.
It'd be like a fast food version of that film, The Terminal, with Tom Hanks. Rebecca and Ava. They've left. But I live here now.
Yeah. It's fine. They've just started doing breakfast menu. It's brilliant.
Yeah, they did. But Rebecca and Ava did come by to tell me they were leaving.
Yeah.
I just got an email saying I'll get three pieces.
Ava had a couple of chicken goujons and off she went.
Yeah, she went. She's coming to see me next week, I think.
So the highly efficient,
brilliant. Oh, brilliant
marketing. You're putting this in out.
I'm putting this in out because it makes me have too much chicken.
Putting this out, I've been.
No, I'm not putting this out.
Oh god,
this is the happiest I've seen you for ages.
Yeah.
Look at him, old Popeye Seb.
If anyone, other chicken is available, but it's not as good as Popeye's.
All right, my out is taxi drivers watching TV shows on their phone while driving you around very busy parts of the world.
Oh, that seems
happened to me twice last week. It's terrifying.
Seem great.
One fella was watching a soap opera, and another fella, I don't know what he was watching, but he took me all the way to Queens to go and see my brother-in-law, and it was fucking... I did say to him, can you fucking stop watching that, mate? And he just basically went, nah.
Nah, someone's put a live stream into this Popeyes in London.
Oh, hang on a minute, I know him. So how many times a week are you going to Popeyes at the moment, genuinely?
Definitely a couple of times, yeah.
Couple.
Yeah, depending. It's very easy if I'm on the way home waiting for a bus as well. And the taxi rank's just outside.
This has been reminding you why you love chicken. He's been Tommy Stewart. He's been Seb White. He's been James Bird. I've been Owen Blackhurst. He's been new guy in the control booth.
Tom.
He gets his name on his second episode.
Okay.
But you've ruined it now. Tom, we've been at Spiritland. We've really enjoyed it. Listen, read, share, rate. New magazine out. All the usual shit. Refer it. Share it.
People like it.
Share it with your mates. That'd be great. Thank you. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.